Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you'll be taken on a journey out of your mind and into your heart and inner wisdom by brilliant and inspiring guests who will deeply enrich your life. And here's your hosts, award-winning authors, meditation and mindfulness teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro.
Hello, everybody. I'm Deb Shapiro.
And I'm Ed Shapiro.
And we've got a great show for you today. We're talking with somebody we really love and who's doing amazing things in this world to help us all. Because, as you know, the old saying is good news doesn't sell. Well, he's really trying to make good news very, very sellable. So we're talking with John Raz, and he's the founder of the Visioneering Group, which says an enormous amount just in the name, Visioneering, which we're going to ask him about very soon. He's done an enormous amount in his world, but the most important thing is that the thread that runs through the whole of his professional life, everything he does, is an abiding commitment to others' excellence and success, and to the unfolding process that's lifting all of humanity to a new level of ethical and spiritual expression, which basically covers the whole gamut of our lives. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Okay, you're going to have to tell us more now about the word visioneering and how you translate that into what you do.
Yes. Well, almost 28 years ago, when I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, after a rather lengthy process of introspection and kind of scanning the environment, if you will, for everything I had an interest in, two words popped up, vision and engineering. And it occurred to me that what I loved doing most was supporting other people to attain their dreams, to attain their visions in life. And I put those two words together. I joined them to form the word visioneering. So basically it's to help support other people's attainments of their dreams and visions. And the word vision is one that is of particular interest to me. I use this definition. Vision is a valued image of the future that connects with our sense of purpose and draws forth the commitment of our energy. So it's pretty much, you know, vision is what drives my existence on this planet.
Beautiful.
And you're doing so much. It's so touching. You know, it's so interesting because I remember meeting you, and it was at AMA. They call it the Hugging Saint. And with all those people, the one person, a friend of mine, had told us about, Mark Matusak, said to meet you sometime. And then there we were at AMA, the Hugging Saint. And we're still friends.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So
that was a wonderful experience.
How does your vision translate into what you actually do? How does that help other people?
Well, basically, especially these days, there are six or seven distinct areas. One, of course, is the Visioneering Group, which is a, for lack of a better term these days, it is a marketing and public relations firm, but I only work with people whose projects reflect consciousness and transformation, and that's all I've ever done for the last 28 years in that regard. The second thing is GATE, the Global Alliance for Transformational Entertainment, and the vision of GATE is transforming the world by transforming entertainment and media from within. The idea being that the transformation of entertainment and media at both the infrastructure slash business level as well as at a creative slash content level is predicated upon the transformation of individuals in entertainment media from within. So individual transformation is the basic unit of the transformation of entertainment and media. The next area that I'm really happy to be involved with is with David Lynch. And I currently am the executive director of the David Lynch Masters in Filmmaking, and I also teach Transcendental Meditation through the David Lynch Foundation. And as kind of a corollary to that, I've been working with Jim Carrey for the past number of years as a senior advisor, and he and I've done numerous projects together. And then another way that this vision manifests is in the co-authoring of a new book that is currently called The Inner Life of the Artist. One of my great joys is in working with artists in the broadest and deepest sense of the word to support them on their journey, because today artists have a very challenging time navigating the rather choppy waters of personal and professional change. So that's a new practice, actually, that I've started. And then I'm also currently working with author Eckhart Tolle on a film project that is based on his book, A New Earth. However, this won't be what I call a talkumentary. It will actually be a dramatic narrative fictional work that is based upon the ideas, concepts, and themes of A New Earth, and also working on a couple of other film projects. And
how many arms do you have?
That's kind of the gist of it, though. There's a few.
No, I heard a rumor that Jim Carrey is going to play Eckhart Tolle. Am I wrong?
No, that isn't true. Actually, nobody will play Eckhart because there isn't. Again, it's going to be a dramatic narrative.
Eckhart's going to come into the movie and play himself.
No. He, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll coax him into doing a cameo, but. He has
to pull one of those things, like on Saturday Night Live or something.
Yeah, that would
he
be
fun. He just comes out and does, you know,
a little song and dance.
Bernie Saunders.
Well, I think we'll see how it all shapes up. But as a matter of fact, today we're interviewing screenwriters and directors for the film, and I have high hopes that it will, you know, be much, much more interesting than a documentary. I think, you know, as a professional who is being a champion of and promoting the idea of transformational entertainment and media, I'm a little burned out on documentaries where, you know, a film that just has a lot of talking heads in it. And
I think that's been redone, and you did the first one, and it was the biggest one going. What the bleep?
Yeah. Yeah, What the Bleep really was a paradigm changer. And, you know, prior to that, I worked on Mindwalk, which was a film starring Liv Ullmann, Sam Waterston, and John Hurd that was based on the work of physicist Fritjof Capra. And
oh, fabulous. We love him.
Wonderful. Yeah,
he lived
really,
in England.
Really
Dev's British,
film.
As you know. We lived near us.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. So, and then we also did I worked on a film called Baraka that you may have seen, too. So.
Oh, God, I've heard it. Is that on Barack Obama?
No, Baraka, B-A-R-A-K-A,
oh, yes.
Which is a Sufi word. It's a Sufi word that means breath of life. You've been watching CNN too much.
That's not fair.
Yeah, that was classic.
Are we here? Are we ready?
So I just wanted to ask you. Okay, so like I said at the beginning, good news doesn't always sell too well.
Right.
So how do you get? How do you make these movies? I mean, okay, What the Bleep was a huge success, but how do you get across that good news is actually very sellable?
Well, you know, I do make a distinction between news and entertainment content, though obviously, especially these days, given our political climate, those lines blur radically. But, you know, the news media in the United States, and for that matter, probably around the world, they operate according to a set of values, and just like we do as individuals. And those values include celebrity, controversy, conflict, impact, novelty, and so on. There are probably about 20 values that structure the news. Now, the interesting thing is none of these values could be deemed to be perennial values, humanistic values. And one of the tenets of GATE is that we are pushing for more of a humanistic-oriented set of values that will drive our news. And, of course, conventional thinking says people are not interested in good news type stories, feel good type stories. They do want conflict and controversy and so on. But I don't believe that's true. I think there's a huge, huge audience for what some people call positive news.
Yeah, but I think
support.
The way to do that would be to make it very trashy, you know, very camp.
Thank you, dear.
You know what I mean? It's truth. But you know, it's like doing a mambo or something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not just telling it and everything. It turns people on, and yet at the same time you're doing a healthy message.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think whatever you do, it has to be entertaining to some degree. Otherwise, people, you know, don't tune in. So whether it's a film or a news report or whatever, there does have to be some value that we could call entertainment. And it really has more to do with how it's packaged and presented than anything. But the bottom line is there are so many extraordinary things happening in the world today that don't get reported by the mainstream news media. And we are advocating for more of a balance so that it's not all so negative, that there actually is an opportunity or opportunities for people to tune in who want to learn more about the incredibly amazing, positive, creative kinds of things that are unfolding in the world today.
Oh, that's so important. But I do believe in the fact that there, it's sort of Advaita, you would say it in yoga or in that sphere, or Dzogchen in Buddhism, where there's non-duality, as if to say if we really tune into ourselves, we enter into that creative space, that sense of who we truly are. And that's the compassionate, the real, we're just adults, human beings. And when we can clear away the muck, you know, and really become a human being, then we could only want to do good. It's people like you, the work you're doing with Jim Carrey, with Eckhart Tolle, with Leonardo DiCaprio. You're working with people who want a better world. There has to be a seed in people to say, do I really want a good world?
So I'm
going
to have to stop you there, sweethearts, both of you. We're going to have to take a break.
And as we do, it's what's your website?
We're talking to John Raz of thevisioneeringgroup.com and Ed and Deb Shapiro at edanddebshapiro.com.
And we're on Vivid Life Radio, vividlife.me.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ed and Deb Shapiro talking to John Raz of the Visioneering Group. And during the break, we were just really, it's very interesting, we were talking about the media diet. And I think this is something we don't often think about and how much we love the dramas. So, John, what were you saying about this?
Well, just, you know, look, we pay attention to our diets, you know, for our bodies in terms of the food that we take in and so forth. But I don't think many of us think about our media diet. Now, these days we're inundated with media, whether it's in the form of a website, a YouTube video, a tweet, a Facebook posting, reading an actual magazine or newspaper, watching TV, listening to the radio, listening to podcasts, going to movies, and on and on and on. We are inundated with media, with messages. And most people are overloaded. And whatever we experience, we metabolize. Whatever we take in through our senses, we metabolize. It affects us at not just a gross level, but at a subtler level as well, you know, sort of our subtle nervous system. So it's important that we maintain some degree of balance with respect to our media diet, just as with respect to our physical diet. And we advocate that for, you know, a strong mind, strong emotions, strong body, that we have a balanced diet on every level, including our media diet. So we should be aware of what we take in. And something that Ed brought out also, you know, in terms of positive news, I'm not suggesting that we only have positive news, because there are many, many dramas unfolding in the world that affect us in so many different ways, and we need to be aware of those dramas. But if that's all that we're fed, if that's all that we pay attention to, then we're living probably an incomplete life. We're probably only getting half or less of the real story that's out there. And the real story these days is the story of consciousness and transformation. It's one that, whether people know it or not, they are tuning into and being affected by it. And that's the story in all of its glorious facets that positive media wants to showcase for the world.
Well, I love when you say that, because one of the things I notice is that I work with children and younger people, and I see that we're naturally, this evolution, we're evolving. And the interesting thing about it is that yoga and meditation takes you deeper. So what you're doing is you're the same person. You know, we had a big conference in England, and it was, can you be enlightened and neurotic at the same time? And basically, when you and you can, because that's the human condition, but it's how we deal with the depths we go, so we can appreciate ourselves in a world. And the world is stuck into a very strange place. And what you're saying is so important. It's so important, because you're dealing with the media, you're dealing with people who can enlighten and make it aware through entertainment, through fun, and that way people take it in well.
Absolutely. And, you know, like yourselves, I mean, I started out on the path in 1967, and, you know, the experience of consciousness and meditation is so foundational and so fundamental to what I do in the world. It's really kind of the be all and the end all of what I do in the world. And one of the other things I should mention, you know, along this that I neglected to when I was outlining some of the things I'm involved with, I got an award from Harvard in the fall of last year from the Institute of Coaching there. And as a result of that, I became close to the two women who run the Institute of Coaching at Harvard. And we started having these lovely conversations about the needs of artists in the world today. And so consequently, we're going to be doing an event probably here in Los Angeles in 2017 that focuses exclusively on the needs of artists and helping illuminate for artists all of the different facets of their professional and personal challenges that they face as they go about trying to birth their work in the world. And this is a really important need today.
Oh, vastly important. Vastly important.
That's
where, because there's so much creative energy in us, and the problem with the world is everybody's stuck. You know, it's like the mind. You know, the mind is a perfect servant, terrible master, and everybody's stuck in the drama. And the beauty of what you're even saying it is, use the drama, enjoy the drama, open up your hearts to your life. I mean, the greatest gift we have is ourselves.
Well, this is a good point you make, Ed, and I think, you know, it's very easy for, you know, even those of us who've been on the path for a while, we can, you know, we can experience a bit of a fall and kind of become identified with some dramatic event occurring in our lives. It's natural. And I think, you know, one of the things I think that's quite wonderful that's going on today is there is a redefinition of what it means to awaken, what enlightenment is. And I think it's a very healthy one because I think it's much more sober and grounded than definitions, you know, over the last 45 years or so would have us believe. And I think, you know, to your point a moment ago, I think that there, you know, the mind can be still. It can be very, very quiet, even in the midst of incredible drama that's going on. And it might even dip into that. It might even slip into that for a moment, but it snaps back to that original state and grounds itself once again. And this
but
is
it's
the
also
great
for, it's also it's also for us to be very, very human. You know, to me, the difference between a wise man and a madman is the wise man knows he's mad.
Well, that's what they say.
Tell us about this new definition, John.
Well,
new definition.
Look, I think when a lot of us, you know, started out in the 60s or the 50s, whatever the case might be, you know, we all bought into, you know, a package that was presented to us from teachers who had come from, you know, the East to the West. And, you know, it resonated with us. It truthfully resonated with us. And we felt, yeah, this is it. This is what I want. But then after you've been meditating 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you start to see, well, it's not exactly that way. I mean, yes, in one sense, there is truth to some of that picture that was painted for us. But still, not everything has emerged as we thought it would. And I think that there is a kind of new realism to people's understanding and experience of what awakening means and of what enlightenment is. And part of it even has to do with the fact that you, in a sense, you have to drop all of those definitions, all of those models, all of those notions about what awakening and what enlightenment is. And, you know, as Eckhart and many other non-dual teachers, you know, share with us, you know, you have to be present in this moment. And,
in a way, there's not even a present moment. I mean, I love the way Eckhart. He's probably the most beautiful teacher. He has a way with the English language in presenting people. I think he's absolutely amazing. But from my own experience and everything, there's not even that, you know, because we define something as the moment. As soon as you think there's a moment, the next moment comes. So there's not even grasping of the moment.
Well, of course, we do that for the sake of
human
interaction.
But it's the universal moment is what I agree with.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, for me, I think that a lot of those, again, ideas and notions about it are just kind of, you know, filtering away. And you're just left with self. You're just left with your life as it is in this quote-unquote moment. And, you know, there is a kind of surrendering that's going on. Now, I find these days that many, many more people I speak with are feeling a deep sense of surrender to the process of life unfolding. And as a matter of fact, I came up with a little phrase. I remind myself, you know, probably once a day, trust in the process of life unfolding.
That's a great mantra, that's for sure. I feel very deeply, though, as we stay in there, because I became a Swami in 1968, and my experience is it becomes so powerful, that love, that beauty, that joy that you're talking about, that and Jim Carrey and everyone, the joy, it takes us over in a very positive way because you're entering into wisdom and intelligence. And the most important thing I could ever say that we all need is humility.
Well, yes, and again, I think, and again, Deb, to your point about, you know, the new definition emerging. So there are things that we've heard about for decades, such as surrender, humility, gratitude. But I think, at least for me, I won't speak for anybody else here, those things have taken on a new meaning and more importantly, a new experiential life. So, you know, I find that every day, like when I wake up in the morning, I am grateful that I woke up. Wow, I get to be here one more day. I get to experience this journey, warts and all, you know, including my own material that I bring to the game that has its own, you know, manifestation and its own set of challenges. But all of that taken into account, it's an incredibly, incredibly wonderful journey. And
so beautiful.
I couldn't have always said that, but now I really feel it in my bones. You know,
it's more beautiful. Swami Satchidananda said, one taste is more than anything in this whole universe. One taste of that exquisiteness of our true nature is more beautiful than anything in this whole world.
I agree.
And you're beautiful, and it's so good having you here, and all the goodness that you're bringing into the world. We need it now. The world is in a lot of ignorance. What's going on is not people's fault. No one's bad, no one's good, but what we do need is to open our heart, have the compassion that everything that's going on that isn't right comes from ignorance. Let's love, let's compassion, and listen to someone like John and the people he works with. This is Ed and Deb Shapiro.
And we're at edandebshapiro.com. We've been talking with John Raz of the visioneeringgroup.com. We're on vividlife.me. And John, this has been a real treat because it reminds us all that we are in control of our own lives.
And we can shoot for the moon, and then if we miss, we land among the stars.
Well,
thank
said.
You, John. We'll talk
my
again
pleasure.
Soon.
And visioneering, is visioneering. Can you say it again? Your website?
Visioneeringgroup.com.
And ours is edanddebshapiro.com. And our guru, Shane Travis, our producer, vividlife.me.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
We all need to go out of our mind at least once a day. By going out of your mind, you will quickly come to your senses. So thanks for going out of your mind with Ed and Deb. Be sure to join them next time. Go to vividlife.me for their up-and-coming shows and to listen to their archives on demand.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.